Well, our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And this is part of the initial story. After the Holy Spirit had come to the disciples, after they had received the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 1 of chapter 3 of Acts. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then our gospel reading this morning comes from John's gospel in chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. It's actually a verse of scripture where Christ is telling about the coming of the Holy Spirit and other parts of faith that come with it and with following Jesus. So hear these words starting at verse 15 of chapter 14 of John. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm a person who has mixed feelings about change. If I'm really honest about myself, I asked our young people earlier what they thought about the word of change, and hey, notice I could see the wheels turning there with them. But when I hear the word change, I go to two places. One, it is a place of, ooh, it's exciting, shiny, let's try it. The other part is trepidation and questioning and wondering. And if I'm really honest with myself, when I hear that word change or something changing, I experience both those things at once. At one minute, I feel like I'm kind of hot and, you know, awesome and ready to go. The next moment, I'm in the exact same feeling it feels is I'm not so sure about that. You know, wondering and questioning. And for you, it may, you know, the hearing that word change or transition, you know, it may come to you feeling in different ways. You know, some are naturally inclined to trying a new thing and experiencing change. It's something they know they live for. Others just aren't so sure. You know, they're comfortable. They like things where they are.
And neither is wrong or right. It's just kind of how we're wired, how God has made us. And if we really think about how the Apostle Paul writes about the church and the people who are in it, of having different gifts and such, it makes sense that we have different responses to change and transition in our lives. When we look at the Apostles' Creed, where we're thinking about our faith, and in this season of Lent where we are examining our faith, now in this series we're making a bit of a transition here. I've done the first two, kind of big statements in the Apostles' Creed, where we have, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We focus on that, two Sundays ago. Last week we looked at Christ and our belief in Christ, and kind of covered that whole kind of paragraph that's written there in the Apostles' Creed. But for going forward, we're actually going to hit each of those lines in the Apostles' Creed. So if you look at 881, which we read before, we'll go through each of those lines leading up to Easter. And so this week, we come to this line of, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And as I shared, before, the Holy Spirit can be that part of our faith, that we may not fully grasp, fully understand, but it's also that part of faith that we know it when we feel it. Like, when we feel the Holy Spirit, we feel that God is with us. I mean, we are feeling the Spirit. But there's also times when we may not feel the Spirit. We may feel like there's nothing going on. We may feel like, God may not be there in our lives. But that's not, the Holy Spirit has not abandoned us. But rather, I believe it's in those moments that the Holy Spirit is with us and truly, guiding us and praying for us when we don't know how to utter the words that we need to pray. But when I come back to change in our lives and transition, I believe understanding how the Holy Spirit can be at work is really important. Because as a people, as human beings, we can become kind of cynical when it comes to seeing change, especially change in the lives of people around us. I mean, how many of us, when we're thinking about someone, and I think about people particularly I grew up with, when I was in high school or perhaps in college or people back in my hometown, and my mother will say, hey, so-and-so is doing this, and I'll think, oh, wow, they really changed. And that's good. And when they grow or they have kids, I mean, I'm glad and excited for them, or they got a new job, I'm really excited. But I also know, and I know people are saying this about me or thinking this about me because they have told me. They're like, oh, you're a preacher. Well, you really changed. And so I say that, with no reservation or judgment on others because I know people think the same of me. And that's okay. People do change. We might get cynical and think that people, don't change or they lack a capacity for change or for growth. But when we think about how our Holy Spirit works, how that third part of the Trinity, how the Holy Spirit can come upon people and transform them, then yes, we can see that change does happen. Change can happen. And that change can be for the good. Now, as I mentioned again briefly with our young people, not all change comes from God. Sometimes there is change that happens that is not of God. That is, perhaps it comes from a place of sin or brokenness, and that can carry out, beyond just our immediate, selves or into our families, or it can go further than that even. But I do believe, though, that as a people of faith, we're called to be aware to that change the Holy Spirit can be a part of. That change that people can experience and be renewed and transformed. Because it's easy for us, I believe, when we are worn down, when we are tired, when we are exhausted, when we are not sure of where to go as a people, when we're not sure what to do in our lives the next day, it can become easy to not be open to change, to resist change in our lives, or perhaps be open to seeing it. But I like this story, the story out of Acts. If we go back to that story out of Acts in chapter 3 there, I like this story quite a bit when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, how it can become upon people. Because in this story, you have this man who has been at the gate. He's been begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. Now, some commentaries have written that this guy was actually a pretty astute businessman for asking for alms there at the beautiful gate, because that's a place where people who have had a lot of wealth, who were ready to give to others, ready to give to God, you know, that was a good place to ask for alms, to ask for funds. And so he have this man who has been there at the gate. Who knows how long he has been there? You know, it says he's been laid there daily at the gate. It could have been, you know, weeks, months, years even. But there was this man there at the gate. And then you have Peter and John, they're going in to worship. And they see the man begging at the gate. And I like here, as you go on to this story, after, you know, he's healed, he's able to stand up and walk, you know, the name of Christ has been spoken. And starting at verse 8, it goes, jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This gentleman has gone through a change. From having people lay him there, you know, because needing help, needing assistance, he is now on his own power, his own mobility. And then you come to verse 9. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. He had experienced no healing from the Holy Spirit. He had experienced a moment that transformed his life, spoken in the name of Christ. And he was no longer lying there. He was now walking in, going into the temple. He had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. He experienced the power of Christ, the power of God. And this story, I believe, is so important for us in our lives when we are interacting with others, especially those who are moving forward in faith, who are working for good for themselves. Perhaps they're moving away from addiction or a troubled relationship, or moving away from a job that was not giving them life and was just tearing them apart. Or perhaps, we're looking at, or perhaps our church or our community or any organization that's experiencing change and transition. This scripture is important because it reminds us of how God can be at work in change, and how the Holy Spirit can be a part of change for good. This man's life was changed because of the Holy Spirit. Coming back to our Apostles' Creed that we have used as our guide, as our part of our Lenten examination. As a people, I believe when we say that line, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe when we take that statement and we internalize it and we claim it and use it as a part of our faith, our expression of faith, we are acknowledging the power that the Holy Spirit can have in the lives of people. We're acknowledging the power that the Holy Spirit can have as we learn, as we grow in faith, how we ourselves can be changed and transformed. Because it's really easy, again, for us to go back to that cynical state, go back to that state perhaps where we are doubting our own capacity for change, or down to the capacity of others for change, perhaps questioning whether any change is useful. But as a people of faith, as a people of the Christian faith especially, we know the power of change and how change through the Holy Spirit especially so can be life-giving. Our gospel reading this morning, is traditionally understood to have been spoken, right after Jesus had washed the feet of the disciples, right after that moment on Maundy Thursday, when he was spending time with them, in those final moments before he would be, go off to the garden and be arrested, and eventually experience his crucifixion. And then eventually Easter, as we know the story. But you know, that moment there, you know, the disciples were not certain. They were aware that great things were coming about underneath, that there was a great change coming there, that there was something happening there in the life of Christ. And some of them knew what was going to happen. Some had unfortunately been intimately a part of that, you know, Judas and arranging for Jesus' arrest. But the others knew something was coming. And so those words, you know, given to us, given to the disciples then, out of that John chapter 14, we come to this part here, that verse 25, I believe, and through 27. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. You know, Christ is saying this, you know, in those final moments after they've had the foot washing. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Now, if I had been one of those disciples, not sure of what was going to happen in the life of the one I was following, I would have taken comfort in these words. But I also probably would have had that response of uncertainty, of not knowing exactly what Christ was talking about. And when we go through those moments of great transition, of uncertainty, and of change, if our response often is much the same when spoken words of comfort, even words of Scripture, that still a part of us is there. But we have to remember again, as a people of faith, as a people grounded in the love, in the life of Christ, a Christ who gave himself up for us and experienced resurrection. I mean, the ultimate change, in my opinion, you know, that resurrection and that life that Christ shares with us. When those waters and life seem uncertain that we're getting ready to go through or experience, our Christ gets it. Our Christ has been there and is sharing that hope that is coming with us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Spoken by a man, by our God, who is going to be going to the cross, saying, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I find that to be powerful, to be life-giving. And when I am not sure of what is coming next, these words of Jesus give great comfort. And they even give me greater comfort when I think about what happened a little bit later in the life of Christ. Because as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was no asking for that cup to be lifted from him, but also praying for God's will to be done. Christ was struggling. But Christ still had that faith and that hope. And through that experience, I believe, you know, has that compassion, that empathy with us in our struggles. So yes, when we proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, when we claim that line, if I believe in the Holy Spirit, it is not done out of just, you know, an experience of pure certainty and a pure, you know, absolute knowing everything's going to turn out right. It comes instead from a place of deep faith, of leaning into being connected with our God, and that faith that comes from Christ, from the Holy Spirit, and ultimately from our God. So as we proclaim that line, I believe in the Holy Spirit, let us hold on to where these words come from, and also hold on how these words transform us, how they renew us, how they give us life, both now and into the future. These words are important. These words remind us of that connection and of the life that we have in our God and in our Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Amen.